Last week, chapter 13, and we talked about just kind of generally spiritual warfare. And I wanted to just take another Sunday and talk a little bit more because I felt like there's just so much more in that area that we could go after. And I just wanted to do a little bit better job or more thorough job talking about it. And so the story we read last week was out of Acts chapter 13 as we work through the book of Acts. And it's the story where Barnabas and Paul run into the sorcerer who is working with the political person, the proconsul. And the sorcerer tries his best. His name is Bar-Jesus, right? And he tries his best to keep the proconsul from believing Paul and Barnabas. And so last week we talked about how sometimes there's... often there's a religious spirit and a political spirit that tries to divide, tries to pull us away, tries to polarize. We've seen that in the church and in our country, how there is no middle ground. It's like you're either with me or you're an enemy. And if you don't see things the way I do, there's something wrong with you. And we see people that have used, you know, under a religious spirit, have used the word of God to harm other people. And the apostle Paul was an example. Before he encountered Jesus, he used the word of God to justify going to hurt people, going to attack Christians and throw them in jail. He thought he was doing the right thing. He had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus changed his heart and he never attacked people again, but he came and tried to save them all. Amen. And so we talked about that. We talked about how the reason that we have victory is because of Jesus dying on the cross. He's given us all authority. We talked about that last week, how he's given us all authority. Legally, we have all authority because Jesus paid for it all on the cross. Amen? And because of that, and he said he gave it to us. He gave us all authority to go, to make disciples, to go, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. That is the authority he has given us because it was all given to him. And so that's been given to us as his children. We are called to walk in that. And the enemy has no authority then over us unless we give it to him. And what happens is we partner with lies, we partner with deceit, we get deceived, and we allow him in to our life. And so that's kind of what we talked about last week. And, you know, we don't always get everything right, do we? Like we see this example with Paul and Barnabas where Paul looks the sorcerer in the eyes and he deals with that spirit. And I was thinking about a couple other examples where, you know, the disciples didn't always quite get it the way they wanted. Fast forward into the book of Acts a little bit, Acts chapter 19, there's the sons of Sceva. And this is quite the story. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. That's not what they anticipated to happen. But I think it's important to understand that we need to know what we're doing. We need to know who we are and that the spiritual realm is real. But again, you have authority. You are victorious. You have Jesus with you. In Mark 9:29, there's a situation where, again, the disciples were wondering, why couldn't we set this person free? And they said Jesus said to them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. There are things that we need to learn, and that is that our heart needs to be, our walk with God needs to be in that place where we are in tune with him, that we are hearing him, being led by him, and not just trying to do things on our own, because we need to know the strategy that he has and the timing. Amen? Matthew 17 is another example where they struggled. It's the disciples, again, they came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And I want to make sure that this is really clear in your heart and mind today, that there isn't a demon behind every bush, okay? But when you encounter them, you deal with them. And that's where it's really important that you just know who you are. And you know who's with you, and you know who's in you. And you know the authority that you have. Now, I want to talk a bit about how this works with us, because most Spiritual warfare is fought in just understanding reality. There's what's real, and then there's the deception. And we need to know where we stand and who we are. Are you guys with me? So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go through this chunk of scripture today. And I pray that it'll open your eyes a little bit. You've heard this before, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Okay, so who are we fighting against? Who's our enemy? Is it the person that ticks you off? Is it the person that says something that comes across critical and we take offense to? Is it the person that says you're never good enough or da-da-da? Or is it a spiritual thing? Okay? Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness for shoes. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I just want to walk through this chunk, basically verse by verse. And just, I want to get you thinking about how this works practically for you and I. Because, again, whether we like it or not, we're in a war. And for the most part, we see the effects of the enemy we're fighting, but we don't see it face to face. And so we have to understand that we need to be prepared. And as a child of God, we have been given the tools we need to succeed, but we need to make use of them. All right, so the first one, verse 14, let's go back to that. Put on the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? What do you think the enemy's basically number one thing that he will use against you is? Lies. Deception. He wants to twist the truth. I mentioned this, I think it was Friday night. I heard someone speaking recently, and they talked about that scripture out of John 8:32, where it says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that word in there, truth, is not logos, it's not the word of God, it's not rhema, but it actually comes out of the word reality. So we'll know reality, and that will set us free, which is I thought was interesting. And again, we need to know what the truth is. We need to know what's going on around us. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6, that says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against knowledge, the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So what's Paul saying here? We have weapons of warfare that are not of the flesh. So I don't need to pack a gun to defend myself, and that's not effective against the spiritual realm. My weapons of warfare are spiritual. And where are the fortresses that he's talking about? Are they out there or are they in here? And so we have fortresses that we build by what we believe, and the things that we fill ourselves with, and it affects the way that we live life. And so it says that we're destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive, all right? I want to just look at those for a moment. The enemy tries to basically play a movie in our head sometimes, over and over and over again. Tries to tell you a narrative of how life's going to be or how it's going, or it tells you about what your spouse is doing wrong to annoy you or how they're a problem or like you name it, or tries to sell you a narrative of fear, like every time your kid leaves the house, are they going to come back? Or there's those types of things. And he tries to just keep pounding you with stuff so that you will live in fear. Or you'll start to believe. Like he'll start to tell you, you're stuck where you are. You're never going to change. This is going to be terrible forever. You ever had that kind of stuff start rolling through your head? And he wants you to hear that until you actually agree with it. And so that's the kind of fortress that we build up in ourselves. Now, there are things that happen to us too, like trauma and people that do really damaging things to us. And what happens is we take that, we react, and inside, we start to build a fortress again so that sometimes if somebody does something to us, we react. Have you ever said something, didn't think it was a big deal, but then somebody just overreacts? It's because whatever you said triggered something from a response, might have been 30 years ago, but now they've built this belief that when you say that, you know, like, hey, you have really nice hair today, and something happened years ago, and all of a sudden they're mad at you, and you don't know why. And it's because something in here has been built because of an emotional response to 20 years ago, maybe, when somebody made fun of their hair or whatever it was. And the enemy has used that to build that. And so there are these things that we have to battle and understand what's reality, what's deception, what is real, what does God actually say? I've seen with people that are actually very rational, very like people full of integrity, and yet they struggle with some of this stuff because, again, they build a thought life or a thought pattern in their heart and they can't get past it. It's like a wall. Have you ever had somebody that's gotten angry with you? And again, they're people you trust, they're people that you know. And you wish you had a tape recorder because they'll say, well, I heard you say this. And you're like, no, I did not say anything like that at all. And you think, I wish I could just play it back for you. I don't understand what you heard. But again, that comes from something that's inside. I remember I was about a year ago, somebody invited me over and they had a prepared thing written down that they wanted to read to me. And they began to read and then the anger kicked in. And they closed their eyes and they just started going. And then they opened their eyes, they finished. And I was in shock by what I was hearing. And again, as they were reading, I began to realize, I'm not talking to the person right now. This is something else. And so they quit. And I said, so you say, and I repeated three things word for word what they just said to me. I said, so you're saying this, and you're saying this, and you're saying this. No, what are you talking about? How would you get that from what I just read? Because who's talking? Have you ever had that? Have you ever noticed? I don't know if you've ever noticed. In fact, I could even see it in your eyes. And so this is the kind of stuff that we battle with. And we have to be aware that sometimes when somebody goes off on you and is angry, or you get this reaction like, what? You're not actually talking to the person. I don't want to freak you out. If you've never heard anything like this, you're like, what? Okay, but the reality is there's a spiritual realm. And there are demons that are working hard. And spirits that are working hard to, and you know what they want to do? They want to divide, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy's plot. And so if he can get you to break relationship with a friend or cause a fight with you and your spouse or your kids or your grandkids, he's going to do it. And he will use whatever he can. And yes, even as a Christian, you can be influenced. I'll try not to get into too much trouble. But I do want you to be aware. I want you to understand that this, so what you're dealing with, and it so helps you. Because if over and over and over again with this person, you keep getting the same kind of response, getting angry at them will never help. Telling them that they're crazy or there's something wrong with them will not help. You need to be able to address the spiritual issue. And sometimes we need to realize that there's an issue here too we need to deal with. So let's go through these three things. So destroying speculations. Anybody know what speculations are? I'll tell you one thing. They're basically always negative. They're always the what if questions. Like, what if I have cancer? What if when my kid goes to their friends, they get run over on their bike? What if, anybody ever had their brain go there with those kind of things? Like something, you know, my wife's late. She's probably dead or she's having an affair. You ever had those like, just wild, like just, sorry, hon, that's, I have never actually doubted that, but you know what I mean? You have these outrageous things that come in your mind, and you have to realize this is not normal. But it's the enemy, again, trying to sow fear. Can I steal your peace? That's what he's saying. Can I steal your peace? Do you really trust God? Let's see if you trust him here. Let's see if you trust him about that person. Let's see if you trust him in this area. And so that's that, you know, do you trust him with your health? You get a scary result back, and now you have panic for the next however long the wait is to get in to see the doctor, you know? And you're like, ah, what if, what if, what if, what if? We speculate, don't we? And usually what happens is, you know, somebody goes shopping or whatever, and they take longer than you think, and you're panicking and you're worried, and then they get home, and then you're just mad because, you know, it was silly, and you know it was silly to be mad, you know, to be worried. But the enemy is, he's looking, he's knocking, and he's saying, where can I get a hold of you? Where's the chink, where's an opening in your armor that I can sow some fear? So that's the speculation, okay? Lofty things, that's more like philosophies. That's the idea of thinking that, the line of thinking that makes God small and the devil or some issue that we have really big. And what happens is we get to that place where we start to think, well, how, I can't get through this. How am I going to make it? Because this is such a huge issue. How could God ever help me through this? And we start to actually believe that the problem is bigger than God's provision. And you might not actually outright say that, but by the way that we actually are thinking that, well, this is impossible. When you're under this kind of spirit's influence, often you'll feel completely overwhelmed by whatever circumstance you're in. And so, anybody ever felt overwhelmed? So when that happens, this is what we need to know. Okay, we need to ask Jesus, what is the reality here? Am I being influenced by something, and have I lost sight of who you are in this moment so that I am living overwhelmed and in fear and incapable of making a good decision because of what's going on? Or how do I react, Jesus? Show me the reality. Show me the truth. Does that make sense? When you get in these moments, the way that we practically get through this is to hear Jesus and to say, okay, what is my next step here, God? What really is going on? What really is the answer to slay this giant in front of me? When we worry, it comes out of fear, correct? And fear, I can't remember who said this. I think it was, I don't even know. I'm not even going to say. But I've heard people say fear is faith in the wrong God. That's basically what fear is. If I have complete faith in Jesus, that he's my provider, he's my protector, he's my healer, that he's always with me, I shouldn't lose my peace. I shouldn't actually have fear, should I? And so when we have fear, we have to ask, what am I putting my faith in? If I'm afraid that I can't pay my rent this month, am I putting more trust in my lack of ability to provide, or am I putting my trust in God that he can provide? When I start to believe all the time that something bad is going to happen, it's because I'm actually thinking about a lofty thing. I believe I'm going to be punished. I believe, you know, those types of things, your thoughts start going there, and that means that you're being influenced. And again, we have to stop and say, Lord, how do I get through this? How do I get my eyes back on you? How do I put my hope, my faith in you, and Jesus, help me to be free? Our thoughts, we have to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll just say this straight out, not all thoughts are your own. Some are, and they're still crazy, but not all thoughts are your own. I'll tell you this, a demonic influence, like a demon won't walk up to you and say, hey, I'm a demon, and this is what I think you should do, all right? They try and deceive you. They try and sow doubt, and they'll often try and make it sound like your voice. See, the enemy knows that you have more power than him. He knows that. He knows that the only way he can get power over you is if you give it to him. And so the Bible says he can come as an angel of light, and he comes as us. And he imitates you with your voice, because guess what? It's really hard to fight you when you can't fight you. And so he loves to get you in a fight, thinking that you're fighting your old nature, your old man, your old self, that again was died with Christ. Amen? Crucified with Christ. Now we sit in heavenly places. But sometimes we start thinking, oh, it's my old self. And you start thinking, well, it's my old nature, and that's why I'm having this battle. And really, it's the enemy just deceiving you. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You believe that? Like, you're not. But yet sometimes you think it's my fault, it's my problem, I'm fighting myself. And really it's the enemy smiling and going, ha ha. So here's what you have to do. Question your thoughts. This I heard, I think it was Bill Johnson said this once. You can't afford to have a thought in your mind that God doesn't have in his. Any thought that doesn't inspire hope isn't from God. When you have suicidal thoughts, they're not from God. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of shame, thoughts of condemnation. We need to learn, again, to take every thought captive and recognize this is God or this is the enemy. And once we know and understand, then we take action. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. You know, if you remember that story, and Jesus left the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. The goal of going through difficult seasons, and again, we do. We all go through challenging times. And the goal of those is that we come out stronger. We come out relying on the Lord. We come out walking with him. We come out full of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit so that we can walk in victory. The goal is not for the devil to beat you, but for you to beat him. I don't know if you've ever thought about that story. I forgot to put the scripture up there, but you know, the devil took Jesus to tempt him. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump off. Well, that's suicidal thoughts right there. He's trying to tempt him to commit suicide. Jump off, the angels will catch you. Jesus was tempted with all this stuff too. The devil tried to say, hey, worship me and you can have all the kingdoms right now. And yet Jesus knew that was coming. But the devil was like, hey, you can have it right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to do all. Just take the easy way. That's the same stuff that he uses on us. Just take the easy way. It's all good. You can sin. It's no big deal. Jesus died for that. He doesn't care. Do what you feel like. And some, you know, self-preservation, that's like a natural thing that's put in everything that's alive. Have you ever captured a cat or a raccoon or whatever? Like any animal, have you ever cornered an animal and they know they're in trouble? Do they just give up and be like, oh yeah, I guess? No. And it's not natural for us to start thinking like that. That's not God. Again, John 8:32, the word, the truth will set us free. We need to know the truth. We need to know reality. We need to know what's real in the moment and hear God's voice and hear his direction. All right, let's keep moving. So back to Ephesians 6. So we put on the body armor of God's righteousness. And I was thinking about this. Part of the armor, part of what protects us is knowing that we are made right before God through Jesus. It's a huge thing, a huge problem when we doubt that, when we don't believe that we're actually made right, because then it allows condemnation to come in and guilt and shame and all that stuff. And the enemy sows those seeds in our heart and we never actually feel free then. We never actually feel confident. And it's hard to be bold and courageous again when you feel like you're not good enough, when you're not accepted, that you're still battling to be good enough for God. And the fact is, you'll never be good enough. We need to know that we are made right by the blood of Jesus, by his grace. Amen? You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's his grace. And it's only through Jesus. But once you understand that and have invited him, you are made right. There is no debating that question. You are acceptable because of Jesus to the Father. And the enemy cannot do anything about it. And so knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that we are a new creation when we get saved, that we are seated in heavenly places, that is the armor that we put on. So when the enemy is throwing those fiery darts at us, the lies, the attacks, the accusations, that they don't stick to us, because it's like, no, I am made right with God. No, I'm a child of God. Tough luck, buddy. That's how I used to be. Now I belong to the King. And you can't touch me. And you can try and accuse and lie and all you want, but no. I belong to Jesus, and I'm made right with him, and I have no need to carry that condemnation anymore. That is the past, and it's gone. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I am secure in him, and I don't have to carry shame or fear anymore. All right, verse 15, the shoes of peace. How many know that we need his peace? And I was thinking about that, you know, It's when we're in peace that we can keep moving, right? When we're in fear, we're stuck, we're frozen. But when we have his peace, we can keep moving forward. We can keep walking in all that he has for us. We can step out and minister to people because I'm carrying his peace. The enemy wants, again, to make God small and the challenges you're facing really big so that you lose your peace, so that you just stay still, so you shrink back. I don't know if you ever noticed, but even the way our bodies are built, we're made to go forward. We can only see this way. And the reason is because God is with us. He's behind us. We should never have to retreat. How many of you ever, or today, could feel like, man, I could use a little more boldness, a little more courage, okay? Get into his peace, because in his peace, you feel confident in who you are. In his peace, you know that you're secure. In his peace, you know that he's with you, that he's for you, that he'll never leave you in this moment. In his peace, you know that anything is possible through Christ. It's easier to hear his voice because you're in his presence. All right, the shield of faith. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. I have to believe and trust that God is greater, and that I am victorious in him, that I'm made to be more than a conqueror, and his promises are always yes and amen to me and to you. I have to believe that. I have to believe that he actually cares, that he's with me, that he loves me, that he watches over me, that he never sleeps or slumbers. I have to believe all those promises, because that gives me faith to know that when the lies and the crap that the enemy slings at me and that the challenges that comes my way, that I can say, no, I trust in the promises of the word. I trust that God is who he says he is. I trust that I'm not alone. Otherwise, that fear, that anxiety comes in and it crumbles. It crumbles who I am. It crumbles my ability to actually step forward. And then I start to believe the lies. I start to partner with the deception and the doubt. And it affects the way I live. Faith comes by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, Romans 10:17. And I just want to encourage you with this. If you want to build your faith, go tell someone about Jesus. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, we went to the Billy Graham School of Evangelism, and some Baptist preacher from the southern states got up, and I remember him yelling and preaching really good, and then he said this. He said, whenever somebody comes to me and they're depressed, I tell them, stop right there, go tell the first four people when you walk out this door about Jesus, and if you're still depressed, then come talk to me. And he said, no one ever came back. And he said, there is something about, you know, sometimes we get in the battle and we forget who we are. We forget who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We forget all the good things. And we need to go, and as much as going and telling someone else about Jesus helps them because they discover him, it reminds me, oh yeah, Jesus is alive. Jesus saved me. He rescued me. I have life in him. And that flows into the next one, which is the helmet of salvation. Revelation 12:11, it says they defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony matters. even if you think it's not that exciting or whatever, your testimony matters. And even if it's something that happened 50 years ago and you never have even told anyone about this time that Jesus healed you, start telling people today. It'll build your faith and theirs. When we remind ourselves of what Jesus has done, it builds our faith. I mean, just like it says in Romans 10, when we hear the good news of Jesus, you can't help but build your faith. If you struggle believing, just start there. It's really simple. Give God glory for what he's done and watch what he changes in you because of it. And it can be little things, how God provided, protected. I think back, there's so many little things that, you know, you forget about. So write them down too. Like when you have this stuff, don't waste those testimonies, those stories of what God has done in your life. Make a history of them, make a record of them. I think of how many times, like we prayed little prayers, like somebody had a headache in our family growing up and they were healed instantly. Well, when you see that, it builds your faith, even if it's just a headache. And I still, you know, when I start thinking back today, I'm like, man, how many times have we seen Jesus answer a prayer for healing, like hundreds and hundreds of times. I need to give him glory for that. And you see, the fact that, I remember my mom used to get migraines, I don't remember how many times we prayed for you, and my mom would have pain, we'd pray, she'd get healed. The pain would go. And see, what happens now is, see, I tell you this story, okay? Seems simple, right? Like, we prayed, the migraine left. Well, if you're a person that struggles with migraines, that's not just simple, that's a big deal. And now you're sitting there and you go and you hear that and you realize, well, if Jesus would heal her, would he heal me? And then just this little tiny seed of faith gets planted. Like, and then you realize that the Bible says that he's no respecter of persons, and if he'll do it for them, he'll do it for you. And then, so when you know the word and you hear the testimony, that little seed of faith starts to grow. And then you start to believe, well, yeah, if he'll heal her when they pray in Jesus' name, why wouldn't he heal me? And then next thing you know, you're either grabbing somebody or you're taking your own hand and saying, headache be gone in the name of Jesus. And then you're healed. It's those stories that build faith, whether you realize it or not. And it can be little things, but it builds your faith and it builds the people around you. We need to hear the good news of Jesus and what he's done and what he's still doing today. And that's so simple. We can all do that. Every time I hear someone get healed, I hear about a story how God miraculously protected or provided for someone, it stirs me. And I say, yes, God, I get excited, but I also say, I want more of that for me too. See, when we see this stuff happen, it's a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And it's a glimpse of an invitation that you and I have as his followers to come and walk in this stuff. And we all are invited to walk in this stuff. Not just smart guys like me, you know? Just kidding. There's something about hearing about the goodness of God that just brings life, brings faith, brings excitement, and we need it. And I'll say this too, the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 12, 11, where it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, there's a legal part to that too. You see, Jesus died and his blood was shed to cover the penalty of our sin. He paid the price that you and I couldn't pay by shedding his blood. And because he did that, he conquered death, sickness, disease on the cross. He got all authority, remember, and then he said, I give it to you. So legally, we have the right to stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, be whole. We are his ambassadors, remember? We are his representatives. And he says, go, make disciples, go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's part of walking in the Christian life. It's not just for the crazy people. It's for all people. If you read your Bible, it's there. Luke 10, 19, he says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. How much authority? All. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. Do you know in Revelation 12:11, do you know what it says right before that in verse 10? Because we quote that scripture a lot, verse 11. In verse 10, it says that the devil accuses you day and night before God. And you know, if he can't find something wrong, he'll make something up. And he'll try and tell you that there's something wrong with you, and he'll try and get you to believe it. That's because it's what he does. He's coming to accuse. He's coming to attack. And so we need the truth of our salvation. We need to be secure in it so that we don't believe those accusations that come at us. We need to be secure in Christ and know who we are. All right. Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit. We'll go back to Ephesians 6, sorry. Verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word. It feels like Sunday School 101 today, I know. But I feel like some of this stuff, we actually need to put into practice. Because somebody said to me, you know, sometimes it's funny. People say, well, that's not very deep. But then it's like, well, you actually doing it? Let's start with that, you know. And this stuff, we need to actually do it. It would solve so much of our problems. So let's start with what sounds simple. We just need to do it, all right? We need to know the word. Like, you actually have to read your Bible. Surprise. But we need to know the Bible. And I saw an article the other day that said a bunch of, like, I forget what the percentage is, but some crazy percentage of pastors even don't even have a biblical worldview anymore. And I was like, what? But, you know, in Christianity, we need to know the word. That's your lifeline. It is the word. He is feeding you his daily bread. We need to hear from him. You can't shortcut or get around that. We need to know the word. It's his word to us. It's an invitation to know the author. The word doesn't save you. Jesus does. But we need the word. We need to know that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I need to know that I'm a son or a daughter of God. I need to know that I am saved by grace, that I do not have to earn it. I can't earn it. I need to know that I'm secure in him, that there is nothing that can take me away from him. His love is perfect and complete for me, and there's nothing that can change that. And that's also promises for you. But you need to know that. And you don't know that if you don't have this in your heart. And it's easy, like if you think of Psalm 23, you know, he leads us by still waters, and lays down in green grass, and all this wonderful stuff. But then it also mentions walking through the valley of death, doesn't it? And it doesn't say to camp there, it says to walk through. But there are seasons where we go through hell. And we need to know what his word is, what his promises are for us to get through that. Yeah, it's nice when things are easy and perfect in life, and, you know, like, you're getting along with your kids and they're behaving for once and, you know, like all this stuff, right? And it's just so nice. And then crap happens. And you think, oh, I wish I was spending a little more time reading the Bible when all that was really good and easy instead of watching TV all the time. And now I'm going, God, where are you? I need to know that I have a good Father who is always with me and always for me, and he will never leave me or forsake me. I need to know that I have been given actually all authority. I need to know that I am invited to not just believe that God's out there somewhere, but to have a real relationship with him. That I can hear his voice. That I can be forgiven, completely forgiven, and set free from all my sin. That the enemy literally has no power over me unless I give it to him. Hallelujah. Jesus defeated him. It's not like sometimes we build this up in our mind, like, who's going to win? What's actually going to happen? No, Jesus won. It's done. It's finished. And I want to tell you, like, when it comes to this stuff, we have to not live in fear. And same thing, like, you know, there's sometimes people come and say, well, there's witchcraft and there's this stuff and that stuff. And we have to be aware. We have to understand, but it should not shake our faith. It should not shake our heart. We are victorious. We have to respond, and yes, there are things we need to do, but we will not lose if we stay rooted in Jesus. Amen? Don't be afraid. But you're only going to stay in that peace if you know the word. That's your sword. That's your way of attacking. Remember, I mentioned that scripture where the enemy took Jesus and tempted him. Well, how did Jesus respond? He used scripture back. The enemy will use scripture to quote to you, because you can twist that stuff. But Jesus quoted scripture back. We don't live by bread alone, by the word of God. What's he saying to you today to help you get through today? See, the word shows me a pathway into God's presence. It shows me that I can enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise, that I can come close to him. The Bible tells me that I can boldly approach him into his throne room. And the Bible tells me that I should pray, that I should talk to God. It shows me the way in, and that's my weapon, is I know with that sword that if I know where I stand and who I am as his child, I can move forward. And so I need to be able to sling the promises of God back at the lies that the enemy throws at me. We strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Remember David, when they returned and found their wives and families taken, and even his own men were thinking about killing him, and the Bible says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. Well, we do that by knowing the word, by getting into God's presence, by worshiping him. That is your weapon. That is your weapon, is to get into God's presence, to get to that place where you have peace and he can strengthen you. If you're staying in fear, you will not be strengthened. I remember having nightmares when I was a kid. My parents were newer Christians, and I used to have the same nightmare night after night. I can't remember how many nights it was, but several times, and it was the same thing. This same witch would come and bother me in my sleep. And I remember it would wake me up, and we asked somebody and just said, well, what do you do? And they said, well, next time you have that nightmare, you just say, in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, you get out of here. And three times, I think, after that, I woke up yelling, in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, go away. I never had the dream again. And there are things like we confidently need to know who we are in Christ to be able to deal with this stuff, because it's not going away. This battle is stuff that you're going to face all the time. And again, we need the wisdom of God to recognize, am I dealing with a spirit here, or am I dealing with just stupidity on my part or whatever? But what am I dealing with? What's reality? I can't do anything on my own, but with Christ, I have victory. I'm going to end here with this couple of thoughts. Ask yourself this, what are you believing in your life today that's not true? Look at the areas in your life that you have fear, that you have anxiety, that you have worry. Are you speculating? Are you looking at lofty things? Do you have thoughts that don't come into alignment with Christ and his thoughts towards you? Are you believing a lie? See, sometimes the things that we do, it's not even the demonic that comes at us. Sometimes we welcome it. Because we have unforgiveness in our life, because we hold on to sin in our life, because we have dabbled in things that we shouldn't have, we have been involved with other religious practices, even in the past, might be years ago. But you got to deal with that stuff. You got to shut those doors. But it starts out with a lie, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but rotting stuff attracts flies. And when we have sin and junk in our life, it's like a big flag that says, come on over. And so you got to deal with that crap. And it might be that the stuff that's happened to you is very real and very painful, but if you hold on to offense, if you hold on to that stuff, it gives the enemy a foothold. The Bible says to not go to sleep angry, because it'll give the enemy a foothold in your life. We don't want to give him any room. It's not worth it. Even if what happened to you, you deserve to be angry. It's not worth it. So I'm going to end. We're going to pray together. Here's the final thought. I was thinking about this the other night when they were talking about hockey when Fateen was here. This is a little bit like being on a team. And I don't know if you've ever played team sports, hockey, football, soccer. And in the ebb and flow of a game, there are times where teams, if you've ever been on a team, you'll understand this, but there's times where as a team, it's like you tend to just sit back and you let things come at you instead of just keep on keeping your foot on the gas. And it's usually in those moments that you lose a game because the other team gains momentum, they start to believe that they can win, and they might be down. Like in hockey, we always talk about the dreaded 3-goal lead. And there's something about you get 3 goals ahead and you just take your foot off the gas, you're like, ah, we got this. And next thing you know, that other team scores one, and now they believe, and all of a sudden they score two, and now it's on. And many teams have lost with a 3-goal lead. And it's because you get this, and so what happens is, you know, as part of a team, you have to be a leader in the sense that you step up and say, no, we're going to keep going. And you lead by the way that you play. So you keep your intensity up. You keep your foot on the gas. You don't give up. You don't stop. And it spurs even the rest of the team to keep trying harder, even though you might be winning. And I just was thinking about that. Even as a church, we need each other in this. Sorry if you're online. You probably missed a whole bunch of that. We can't take our foot off the gas. We have to keep pressing forward. If we do, if we let our foot off the gas, then other people around us hurt and struggle too. They are looking, we're looking to each other to encourage each other, to build each other up, to see the victory that you're having, because then I believe that God will bring victory in my struggles too. This is why church is powerful, because we gather and we encourage each other. We are His body, His bride, and we need one another. And we need to hear the stories of what God's doing. This is how we win. So would you stand and just let's bow your head, close your eyes. If you want to just end the live stream, that'd be awesome. I want to pray with you. And so I want you to ask the Holy Spirit if there's any area in your life